This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is September 1st, Monday morning. It's a little after 11 o'clock and this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. Joining me today is Aaron Green. I have a provocative subject I want to speak about. So I said, let me get some help in terms of reading some definitions, getting some citing some laws into the record, right? Today, we're going to be talking about the difference between patriotism, you're a patriot, and the difference between nationalism, you're a nationalist. We're going to bring into the conversation citizenship. I know I had a conversation with citizenship where I had a number of callers calling saying, man, we need to protect our Bahamian citizenship. We don't want no more foreigners coming to our country, right? So I said, let me have a show about what entitles one to become a citizen of the Bahamas, loosely, you know, through marriage, and I'm going to do the prerequisite for that. And the prerequisite for a person who is not married or do not have a tie to the Bahamas, no lineage or anything, but wants to apply for Bahamian citizenship. I'm going to read that into the record via that, right? I did some Googling. I did some searches. AI produces some information. We have the Nationality Act. We have the Constitution also that we'll be providing some insight on. Of course, you can call and give your opinion on such, but I hope you just cite law. It's not necessarily your opinion on what it should be. Now, there are one or two things you might say, I don't like that, even though that's law. And you can say that, no, really, I don't like it. But state, I'm going to give my opinion, but I don't like that, and I believe I'm going to lobby for the powers that be to change that part. I can understand that. I can appreciate that. But you can't just make it up, right? We're going to follow the law. So without further ado, let's start the conversation. We're going to start the conversation with some definitions. Some definitions that Bahamians tend to use loosely because we tend not to research words, right? We hear it used and say, man, that's what I am right there. I want you to understand the words that you use, especially when you call in these talk shows and say, well, I am this and I am that. I want you to know the difference. So when we have these discussions, it's a more learned discussion, right? More involved discussion. So let me bring in Aaron Green. We're going to start off with the definition of patriot, but that's our conversation we're having today. Just go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm glad you caught me. I was heading to the airport, right? But then somebody called me and say, don't worry, that Bahamas Air plane's still on the tarmac. You could take your time.
I heard about that Bahamas Air fiasco.
But what? I was going to the airport, that's all.
Not to go to Bahamas Air?
I mean, they're going to Bahamas Air.
Yeah. I ain't got no place no more. The pilot left.
Oh. Yeah, I got time then.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to start with definitions.
Oh, yeah, start with definitions. I went blank. Yeah, sorry.
All right.
Go ahead.
So this is all online research. Nationalist, a person who strongly identifies with their own nation and vigorously supports its interests, especially to the exclusion or detriment of the interests of other nations.
No, read again. Sorry again.
Nationalist, mm-hmm. Noun, a person who strongly identifies with their own nation, mm-hmm. and vigorously supports its interests, especially to the exclusion or detriment of the interests of other nations.
Detriment excludes other nations and at the detriment of other nations. What is a patriot?
A patriot expresses love and devotion for their country and its people.
So both expresses love for their country and people. However,
No.
Go ahead, explain.
No. Nationalists strongly identifies with their own nation and vigorously supports its interests. A patriot expresses love and devotion for their country and its people. There's a difference between nation and country.
Okay, I sent you something trying to express the differences that you can read. So that's so we can the listening audience could see the difference.
All right. So it says here, the key difference is that patriotism is a positive attachment to one's country, while nationalism is an ideology that emphasizes the nation's superiority and distinctiveness.
Okay, so that's what I wanted, which is heavy, what I wanted to discuss. Because a number of behemoths tend to say, oh, I am a nationalist, right? In contrast to, I am a patriot. And I'm wanting the listening audience to understand what's the difference. So when they call and declare what they are, right? And when they do the action words to it, that they know what it is that they're doing.
So, a nation is a construct.
A nation is a construct.
Right, a construct of laws, policies, provisions, conventions, customs. A country is a group of people within a geographic boundary. Right, the country is the people in the place. The nation is a construct. It's words, it's rules, it's laws that create, right, a defined political space. But a country is people, and that's a part of the difference as well.
And I'll go this far. The people can be different types of people, but a nationalist or the national construct is, when you say ideology, is a concept or a binding of precepts or a binding of ideas come together.
Right, because you could say, look here, the country Bahamas is made up, the Bahamians made up of all kinds of ethnicities. We got Chinese Bahamians, right? We have Indian Bahamians. We got Haitian Bahamians, right? They are all Bahamians. A nationalist says, hey, if you don't fit into this narrow definition of citizenship in this Nationality Act, then you don't exist to us. You don't belong here. We don't care.
So let's start our discussion before we go get into the citizenship. Read all of the stuff I sent you already so we get...
No, there's more to read.
So read all of that in so listen, the audience could understand the conversation. So when they do join in, they can appreciate the conversation I'm trying to have.
So again, these are from AI Overviews. A nationalist is an individual who believes that their own nation is superior and has a responsibility to advance its interests and power, often by emphasizing national unity, culture, and identity to achieve collective goals. The strong attachment to one's nation can lead individuals to advocate for national revival, greater autonomy, and the protection of their people's wealth and power. A patriot expresses love and devotion for their country and its people, focusing on civic duty and improving the nation. A nationalist, however, believes their own nation is superior to others, often based on cultural or ethnic identity, and prioritizes the nation's interests above all others, potentially at the expense of foreign cultures. The key difference, again, is that patriotism is a positive attachment to one's country, while nationalism is an ideology that emphasizes the nation's superiority and distinctiveness. Patriotism, focus, a love of one's country and concern for the well-being of its people. Behavior, willingness to make sacrifices for the common good, serve the community, and work to improve the nation's systems and way of life. Motivation, a civic spirit centered on the country's ideals, values, and political virtues. Connotation, generally considered positive and can be seen as a natural aspect of citizenship. Nationalism, focus, a strong identification with one's nation and culture, emphasizing its unique and special qualities. Again, that's nationalism, right? Mm-hmm. Behavior may involve political movements aimed at establishing or strengthening a nation state, sometimes with the goal of independence. Motivation, a belief in the cultural and historical unity of the nation and a spiritual attachment to it. Connotation can be negative, especially when it involves an exclusionary or aggressive belief in the nation's superiority and disdain for others. Key distinction, view of other nations. A patriot loves their country but generally respects other nations. A nationalist often believes their own nation is superior to all others. Can I stick a pin? What you find in the nationalist space, right, is that the definition of who belongs becomes so narrow that you're actually excluding people who are citizens of the nation.
Yes, we can get to that. Yeah. Go ahead, finish.
So nature, patriotism is a love for one's country, while nationalism is a more aggressive ideology that emphasizes the distinctiveness and superiority of the nation. Here's an example. An automated patriot. An automated surface-to-air missile. Oh, that's what it is. Okay. Patriot missile.
Good. So now let's start the conversation. Mm-hmm. We now need to determine, listen, audience, what are you? Are you a nationalist? Or are you a patriot? We now understand what the definition is. In this course of the Bahamas, we are having a debacle between patriots and nationalists right now, where there are people out here who say, man, only a certain set of people in the Bahamas matter, right? And we're having that discussion, whereas we are trying to understand who are Bahamians. And I want to have a discussion now about Bahamian citizenship. What trumps what? Bahamian citizenship is a legal concept, right? Bahamian is a legal concept defined in law. It gives you the parameters of what makes a Bahamian, and what all of the characteristics of that, right? And that definition is defined into the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the Bahamas. The Constitution, which constructs the boundaries of the Bahamas, it constructs what makes a Bahamian, and the benefits and rules that governs that, right? I see we have some callers ready. I want to read into the record. I did say anything about citizenship?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to know about, I mean, we do know that you can be born into the Bahamas and have citizenship by lineage. Mother was a Bahamian, your father was a Bahamian, therefore you become Bahamian. We know that we just had the new constitution amendment about women who are married be the ability to automatically pass on their citizenship to their children. Mm-hmm. And we know that men who are not married can now automatically pass on their citizenship to their children.
With proof of paternity.
But again, that's lineage. We understand lineage. And there's marriage. You can be married to a foreigner and then gain citizenship through that means. And then there's people who apply for citizenship. I think I sent you something about people who apply for citizenship.
You send me a whole bunch of stuff. You want me to start at the beginning?
Let's just read.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Well, I come to you soon. Let's go through these stuff and then I can embrace you in this conversation. Go ahead.
So AI overview. To become a citizen of the Bahamas by marriage, you must first be married to a Bahamian citizen for at least 5 years, have a valid resident spouse permit, and demonstrate good character. After fulfilling the marriage length and residency requirements, you can apply for permanent residency or citizenship by registering with the Department of Immigration. The application process involves submitting several documents, including a police certificate of character, medical certificate, proof of marriage, and birth certificate, and is subject to public policy and national security checks. And just make a distinction that one of the questions in the referendum addressed disparities or inequalities. Mm-hmm. And so the requirements are different if the spouse is female or male.
Okay.
Right? One, obtain a resident spouse permit eligibility. If you are married to a Bahamian national, you can apply for a resident spouse permit. Application, this requires a letter of request, a completed application form, and a fee. Requirements, you will need to provide a medical certificate not older than 30 days and a police certificate of character covering the last 5 years of residence. Two, apply for permanent residency or citizenship. Marriage duration. After being married to a Bahamian citizen for 5 years or more, and while the marriage is still subsisting, you can apply for either permanent residency or citizenship.
Either or.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Application. You will submit your application to the Department of Immigration with the required supporting documents. Required documents, applicant's documents, a copy of your passport's biographical page, a completed application form, a medical certificate, and a police certificate of character. Bahamian citizenship can, this is again, AI overview. Mm-hmm. Bahamian citizenship can be obtained by descent to a Bahamian parent, by birth in the Bahamas after July 9th, 1973, to non-Bahamian parents, by marriage to a Bahamian citizen, or through the naturalization through naturalization by fulfilling specific residency requirements. Key naturalization requirements include a 10-year period of legal residency.
Repeat that again. This is through the naturalization process.
Key naturalization requirements include a 10-year period of legal residency.
So if you live in the state of Bahamas for 10 years legally, you can actually apply.
With a minimum of 6 years preceding the 12 months before application.
Yeah, read that part again.
With a minimum of 6 years preceding the 12 months before application.
Okay.
So that suggests that you could apply before the 10 years?
I saying that the last 6 years you should be here, not moving back up and down. That's why how I interpret that. You know, sometimes you could be in, go back to your country.
I got you. Period of legal residency. Yes. So you're living in the country. Residing in country.
Last 6 years.
Right. Mm. Good moral character and demonstrating knowledge of Bahamian history, culture, and civic responsibilities.
I don't know if that is true.
Also, the question have to be, do you know why they couldn't find Jerry Roque and Tan?
Yeah. But I mean, but that's interesting. It's, like I said, it's from where AI...
Mm-hmm.
Again, but I don't know if this is true. And someone could call and say, yes, I have to know something about the Bahamas. Go ahead.
All right. Paths to Bahamian citizenship. Again, AI overview. By descent, if you have at least one Bahamian parent, whether naturalized or otherwise, you are eligible for citizenship. By birth in the Bahamas, if you were born in the Bahamas after July 9th, 1973, to non-Bahamian parents, you can acquire citizenship. By marriage, you can apply for citizenship if you are the female spouse of a Bahamian citizen. Look at that. You saw it?
Yeah.
You read it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You heard it?
Go ahead.
You heard what it didn't say?
What it didn't say.
Okay, then. By naturalization, this is the primary route for those without Bahamian ancestry or marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Naturalization requirements. To become a citizen through naturalization, you must, one, meet residency requirements, be a legal resident for at least 10 years, including the 12 months immediately before your application,
mm-hmm.
and have resided in the Bahamas for at least 6 years during that period. Demonstrate good character, have a good moral character with no significant criminal record. Okay, so back to that earlier point. I mm-hmm. think it's saying that you have to have legal status
for
10 years.
For 10 years.
And of those 10 years, you have to have spent six mm-hmm. of those years living here mm-hmm. and before the immediately preceding the 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is AI overview. Two, demonstrate good character, have a good moral character with no significant criminal record. Okay.
Significant. But go ahead.
I'm so thankful this is AI. Mm. I don't like it at all. Three, show knowledge of the Bahamas, possess basic English proficiency.
I found this interesting. Because I don't know if this is true either. Read that part again so people listening understand what I'm saying.
Possess basic English proficiency. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
You should be able to speak in a dialect, but words.
Let's juxtapose that to the national examination assessment conversation.
Go ahead.
What does basic English proficiency mean? Is that an E? Is that an F?
What about an E?
Okay, then.
What about the E grade?
All right.
You can string sentences together.
Three, show knowledge of the Bahamas, possess basic English proficiency, and a demonstrated understanding of Bahamian history, culture, and civic responsibilities. Four, intend to reside permanently. Show your intention to continue living in the Bahamas and make it your permanent home. I need more clarification. That's too ambiguous.
Yeah.
Don't just go... find a woman and impregnate her and say, I intend to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're just a little too ambiguous.
Yeah.
Thank God it's only AI. Five, be financially self-sufficient. Be able to support yourself financially.
Mm.
Okay. That is the last of the documents.
So let's embrace the caller now to join in the conversation. I know they've been waiting for a while. I appreciate the caller for waiting patiently. And in the meantime, we could try find exactly read that. Into the record too, so we can have a clearer conversation. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Yeah, good morning, CA and Aaron. I've been holding for 10, so I asked you to give me 3 minutes.
Yeah, they're okay, 3 minutes.
I'm a nationalist, okay? And this question, CA, should be looked at putting this, that should be posed to persons vying for public office. That'll be a good question to put to them. Whether they're a patriot or they're a nationalist. I'm a nationalist. And based on what Aaron was reading, it's obvious the stakeholders who have been issuing out these citizenships like candy haven't been reading the Constitution, I hope. But we need to look, CA and Aaron, at what the Constitution says in terms of conferring the citizenship rights and look at what the Nationality Act is saying. If Constitution, which I've been preaching since 2016, is the supreme law of the Bahamas. How is it possible for the Nationality Act to confer more rights to an individual than our Constitution.
I can tell you, hold on, let me give you the answer. Because when a law is passed, a little disclaimer, say all law, the laws passed, is deemed to be good law until it's shown to be bad law. So right now, the law, despite your reading, interpreting it as is ultra vires the Constitution, that may be true. But until it is determined to be bad law, the law shall stand.
Well, okay.
That's the legal principle.
I'll put it to you like this. It has been determined that I am correct.
By a court?
The Jane Roe case is the prime example. This at Article 7, one was tested in the late Jane Roe's case. And it was determined that the appellant, the late Jane Roe, did not meet the criteria laid forth in the Constitution, meaning he didn't apply between his 18th and 19th birthday.
You know, that's two different points. You know, that's two different points you're talking about, right?
No, it isn't two different points.
The question:
because the minister can confer citizenship to anyone of full age.
Yes.
What is full age?
It ain't matter. That's what the minister can do.
Full
age is, I assume, 18 by majority. But
no,
you
look in the Tribune and you look in the Guardian, you'll see persons 55, 60.
They'll be full age.
40, 80, getting citizenship. How is that possible?
Because the minister has the right to do it.
He does not have the right. If I give you my credit card, and I'll leave with this, if I give you my credit card to go and do specific things for me, and you max it out, and you put it into overdraft, what you did then is
all right.
Basically... You didn't pay attention.
Duncombe, let me give you another piece of like legal advice. I'm not a lawyer. You ain't never seen me at the Bar Association. I'm not claiming to be a lawyer. But you have to be
a lawyer to have common sense.
Right.
To read law.
When you read these acts, right, you're going to find that many of these acts vest in the minister a degree of discretion and authority, right?
No, the minister cannot be more powerful than our Constitution.
Listen, you missed the first point. I have to charge you next time. The first point says that until it is shown to be in contravention of the Constitution, it is deemed to be good law. A. B.
So in what all, part it, of Jane Rooney case that you didn't understand?
Again,
the part that you don't the part you don't understand because that's two different oh no that's two different
two
issues
different
because
issues.
The court ruled that he didn't apply before the age of 19 within the time period allotted. That's in line with the law. Hold on, that's in line with the law. What I'm giving you some legal advice for your way forward, because even though our positions on the issue are different, I could still add illumination to your position, which is you got to go into the law, into those parts where it says the minister has discretion. Right?
You
have to challenge the scope of the discretion and the authority vested in the minister. That's what you got to do to keep opening up this what they call it, the thread, the vein that you're on.
Earlier we read how persons 50, 60, and over 18 can apply for citizenship.
Through naturalization.
But
Gene Roney is a different thing where you were born here, and you say, look, you born here. Your parents could go to the minister at any time and say, look here, I register in this child. The intent is to register as a Bahamian at the age, right? The minister could use their own discretion and make them a citizen,
yes.
I think. Roney had between the age of 18 and 19 to put in his application.
Yes.
The courts ruled that the duration expired and the application was submitted post that. That's what that ruling was, right?
Yes. And man, you remember the issue about the justice who was facing retirement?
Right.
And did not...
Because the submissions, the rulings were not delivered within the period of their contract.
Yes.
There was a question of the validity of the rulings.
Yes. And this is why there's two different issues. Roney did not apply based on a foreigner coming into the Bahamas and they seeking citizenship would be present. He was applying based on the Constitution.
Saying that I was born here.
And
I have the right to apply at a certain point in time.
Two different issues altogether.
Yeah.
Two different issues. Let's go to the next caller. Guardian Radio AM. Go ahead, caller.
Hi. Good morning. Mary, how are you doing?
Go ahead. Doing well, man.
Okay. Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good morning to the nation. As it relates to that particular conversation that y'all had just now regarding the now deceased God rest his soul, Gene Rooney, I think is the name. What's his name? Who called in just now?
Don't mind him, the previous caller.
No, what's his name? Okay, the previous caller, I know that the previous caller continues to use that argument, right? However, just thinking on the surface level, right? Or even at an advanced level, when you go to the Privy Council, right, you can't introduce any new evidence, right? They can only go by the existing evidence that's presented in your file, right? And if the Constitution is the backdrop that is the supreme law of our country, then they can only go by that. However, in the Gene Rooney case in particular, if he had approached a government, the Minister of Immigration at the time, and the cabinet did use its discretion that is provided for it in law, the cabinet would have been able to grant him the citizenship that he so desired, right? And he would have never had to go to the Privy Council in the first place. But because there was that strictness in law that was presented according to the evidence in his file, the Privy Council had no other choice but to rule according to the Constitution. However, I'll repeat again, if the government minister, supported by the cabinet, who has the authority to grant citizenship outside of that age period of 1 year, 6 months to 1 year after you become the age of 18 or 19, if they had taken that liberty and granted him the citizenship, the Privy Council would never have been necessary in the third place. And even if they still had to go to the Privy Council, they would have then relied on the discretion that is granted to the government in law beyond the Constitution, which would be the cabinet making a ruling, reviewing the matter, and making a ruling in his favor. And they would have gone along with the cabinet, which is the government body entitled to make such a favorable consideration.
Thank you very much, Anton.
And so I don't understand why that argument continues to go on and on and on and on and on and on. But on another note, I'll end with this point, if I can. We don't want to be complicit. We do not want a government that is complicit, because as you continue to
complicit in
refer,
what?
Aaron.
Hold on, complicit
as
in
you
what?
Continue to refer. Say it again.
Complicit in what?
Complicit in not executing its duties.
Okay.
Right? As it relates to considering the immigration or the citizenship issues, right? Via the cabinet, right? If you have persons who have made their applications, right? By that prescribed age in the Constitution, but you have a government that has not given consideration to those applications, the government is actually complicit in withholding consideration for those persons either receiving or being denied their citizenship that they are applying for. And we do not want that, because as you continue to refer to, Aaron, with the last caller, this being tested. Has this been tested? If someone gets to the point of putting to test a government that is complicit in not executing its duties as is stated out in the Constitution, they would have all the grounds in the world to slam our government right into hell because of our slackness, if it's the case, or us being complicit in not executing what is the government officials' duty.
Okay, let's have some commentary on that. And I thank you very much, Anton. And it's, you're going down the same vein that Aaron and I were discussing. I'm going to ask you this, Aaron. Have you heard
about the commercial enterprise bill? Where if they don't reply and respond and follow through, then you get just automatically get it?
There's a number of political debate by a certain set of people who have been debating that the Nationality Act is ultra-virus to the Constitution.
Yeah.
Have you heard of any lawyer who has gone to the courts and challenged this or moving forward saying, okay, let me prove my point. Now, mind you, this is a 20-year-old argument. But have you heard
any? I've heard whisperings, but I have not seen any substantive action. Like you say, I've not seen court case, court rejects application, nothing, nothing. I haven't seen
anything. Have you heard anyone who said, we went to the front of the court and we went in front of this particular judge to make our argument,
I think,
besides the idle talk?
I think they said they was outside the court by the car and they was trying to talk to the judge. Other than that.
Other than that.
No.
So right now, this is just talk.
Yeah.
Nobody has challenged any law to say this is, right. What is what's right
and,
or
and
not.
Just in case, call it, give me a second, just in case we're going to move away from that. Here's a text. Aaron, you're always talking about breaking the law, but now you are in agreement with the government breaking the law, twisting and blurring lines, and we have a constitution which is supreme law. See, this is why we have issues. Y'all are part of the problem. I can be honest with you. I am a part of many problems. But in this instance, you are the bigger part of the problem, texter. You need to learn the law. You need to learn the law and you need to learn the Constitution because you're the one who's perpetuating mistruths, right? Learn constitutional law. Learn the law. Let the lawyers in your party tell y'all what the law is. Whatever lawyer y'all hire, go to the bar. No, remember, I was going to say go to the Bar Association and ask if they have to snuff, but I changed my mind on that. Don't do that. The point is, though, right? You're doing yourself a disservice. The law is good law until it's brought before the courts and shown that it's bad law. I'd say that after every law?
Yeah. Mind you, no one making any effort to do what you say.
Yeah.
It's just idle talk. Let's go to the caller because I want to ask one more question. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Thank you. Good morning. Let me follow up with what you're looking at. I'm looking at the immigration government BS. I like that BS because that really rhymes. website for citizenship. And there's an application form 3. And I'm going to read it to you, and you explain it to me. Children born in the Bahamas to foreign parents and make application after their 19th birthday. Commonwealth citizens, male spouse of Bahamian. What does that mean?
Male spouse of Bahamian?
All of that. All of that. Because it says make application after their 19th birthday, which means you can apply, because I asked the minister, Fred Mitchell, about this. And he says you can apply after your 19th birthday.
Okay.
And still be granted citizenship.
So watch this. Watch this. Mm-hmm. Remember there was a discussion, a debate on on how the word may is to be interpreted. Mm-hmm. There were a number of debates that arose during the gender equality referendum. But because of political expediency, we didn't get to flesh them all out, right? One argument was that the list of categories to be protected in Chapter 3 is inexhaustive, right? You don't... The similar categories are automatically included. Okay, so on this other side of the discussion, there was a question of whether at 18, upon application, it is automatically granted to you, right? Like, you that what you do at 18 is actually saying, no, I don't want it, right? Because in the thinking that you're born here and you have Bahamian citizenship, but at the age of 8, you won't... It won't be conveyed to you until the age of 18 because as an adult, you have to make the decision whether you want it or not, right? And they say, well, we got it here in the closet for you. When you're 18 and you could make this decision for yourself, then you could decide whether you don't want it, right? That's one of the arguments put on the table, which then to me suggests that if the law says that you could apply after the age at 19, after that period, that
yes.
suggests to me that it is automatic. Between, if you make the application between 18 and 19, and it's a determination of whether, A, whether you want it, or B, when you say you want it, then the state says, well, I want it, but we're looking at this record you have here. And bro, you didn't act like you wanted to be a citizen, right? A citizen of the Bahamas. There you go.
Male spouse of Bahamian.
You want me to explain that part too?
Yeah, that part.
That's gender equality referendum for sure. See, during the gender equality referendum, somebody suggested that same-sex marriage is impossible in Bahamian law, right? Mm. But when you read phrases like that that don't define what spouse means, like spouse could be male or female, right? And you see, this is the second time we've heard it read today, right? Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, you sweet girl. Thanks.
Thank you.
Let's move to the next caller there. Press that button, Aaron. Go ahead, caller. Guide and read it. Yeah.
Yes, how you doing? The both of you in the studio. Just some things. First of all, number 7 of the Constitution, there is no ambiguity in citizenship for the person making application between the age of 18 and 19. There is no shall and whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Might. It says shall. Listen to this carefully. A person born in the Bahamas after the night of July 1973 neither of whose parents is a citizen of the Bahamas, shall be entitled, and then, right? But let me just skip. It says, shall be entitled to be registered as a citizen of the Bahamas. And it's simply saying, but it put a caveat in there in between there, upon making application on attaining the age of 18 years and within 12 months thereof, and it says, in such a manner as may be subscribed.
Or prescribed, yeah.
But it also gives some other caveat. Provided that he's a citizen of some other country to the Bahamas, he shall not be entitled. That's what it says. He shall not, might not, be entitled to be registered citizen of the Bahamas unless he renounces his citizenship of that country and takes an oath of allegiance and makes and registers such declaration of his intentions concerning residence as may be prescribed. See, that as may be prescribed mean that they say you can't apply for citizenship and leave the next day. Now, all these other different things. The problem is we've never fleshed these out, right? So when you you are entitled to be a citizen based on those caveats as well as national security and other interests. That moral turpitude you had in there, right, is a very powerful tool. Do you know what moral turpitude could be interpreted? I could ask Nuri, you're applying for citizenship. Have you ever thought about cheating on your wife? And you said, yeah, I thought about it, but I never did. The very thought that you thought about it, even though you didn't do it, could be considered moral turpitude.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You know, see, Alan, just in the interest of time, when I made my contribution to the Constitutional Reform Committee process, right? The thing that I highlighted in terms of...
But let me make one point when you finish. Go ahead.
Is that the terms are far too ambiguous, right? That if we're going to go after...
Number seven is it.
Well,
right.
The chapter three.
I agree with you. Their recommendations was ambiguous.
No, and I looked at chapter three in particular, right, in my contribution. And the point that I made was that these terms are far too ambiguous, right? Like that I don't need necessarily a moral direction. Like, look, we entrench in gay people as goodness in the Constitution. But that for the proper function or application of these, of the not just the rights, but the enjoyment and then the enforcement of the protections, that these terms are far too ambiguous, right? And so, like you said, when you said we didn't flesh these things out sufficiently, what does shall may in this context? What does may mean in this context, right? And then what does it mean in the reverse? Because when you use shall and might, juxtaposed, then it suggests that shall means must, right? Will automatically happen. And so
you use the word automatically, no, nothing is automatic. You must make application. This is the point I want to make. Nowhere in the Constitution does anybody give citizenship to anybody, even to the spouse, like you went to number three. And number three sets a different fiat than number seven did. But when you say, oh, the husband gives citizenship to his wife,
the state conveys citizenship to your spouse because you qualify to have your citizenship conveyed to them.
No, that's not true.
Yes.
That's not true. No, listen, want me to read the Constitution for you? No.
We have time. Make your last point.
I won't take up too much time. Just let me make this one point. I want to make two quick points.
No, you just two. One quick point.
No, because the other one is concerning the challenge that she says. The point is this. The Constitution lays out qualifications for citizenship. It doesn't say the man gives you nothing. It says
The state will convey the citizenship to your spouse because you qualify for it to be conveyed. But the state does the conveying. It's the state. The man doesn't give it to the spouse. The state does.
Okay. I want to read this into the record before we go to one caller, then go to the break, right? I was trying to, based on one of the previous callers, he was saying that some laws are challenging the Constitution. Right, and I'm saying why is it conflicting? And I'm saying that laws tend to explain what the Constitution was initiating. Let me read this, right? So yeah, a constitution is the highest law of the land, establishing the fundamental principles, structure, and powers of a government, along with defining basic rights of citizens. Laws are specific rules created by the government within the constitutional framework to govern behavior, impose regulations, and address societal needs. Essentially, the Constitution provides the overarching legal foundation, while the laws are the details, rules that operate under that foundation. And I'm hoping that the Bahamian people understand what I'm trying to say with that. That's the definition of it. Why there are laws to explain the Constitution. The Constitution's framework, then there are laws to explain what is intended by the Constitution. And then when you have issues with how the law is interpreted, you do one of them judicial review and challenge it. But if you ain't challenging it, can't be complaining, man. Let's go take a break and we come back to the caller. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Aaron Green is with me. We'll be right back.
And impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist, they're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com. and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Before we go to the caller, we accepted that the Constitution is the overarching law. Then laws are then made to define or detail and explain and to operate the foundation. So we know that now, right? I know we had a exchange earlier with one of the callers saying, oh, how come the law is conflicting? And I say, if you think it's conflicting, go and challenge it.
Yeah,
but you just can't talk about it.
Because that's a mechanism that's provided within the law, right? Mm-hmm. The Constitution provides the scope or the framework. The policymakers, that's why they fight so hard to get that position. They can make whatever law they want once it fits within that scope or framework. It's up to us to pay attention when they pass the law to say, hey, hold on. I could tell right away, this is slipping outside of the scope of the Constitution. We should take it for a judicial review.
And we have a number of people who are raising arguments, oh, I don't like this particular law, right? Mm-hmm. But they don't want to do judicial review at all. They don't even entertain
the
option.
I want to say, you know, them people who's turned left on red, even though the law clearly states that you could only turn left on red where there's a sign indicating you could do so, but they keep turning left on red. Like those people, they could have the law changed.
Yeah.
They could lobby and advocate and go to their MP or the Minister for Transport and just have the law changed, as opposed to not just breaking the law, but promoting law breaking and then promoting violence when people don't want to participate in your little illegal activity.
As we go to the caller, do you know that the passport, a Bahamian passport, belongs to the Bahamian government?
Yeah.
It's not actually yours or mine.
No, and right? And if it's lost, that's why you have to. If you can't find your passport for more than a week, right? You've done a thorough search. You need to go report that.
And do you know that an illegal immigrant, I'm using that word loosely, because you know we don't like to use it, right? If they're born in the Bahamas, they can get a government birth certificate, because the birth certificate belongs to the government also. Right. Even though you're not a citizen of the Bahamas, yeah, you can get a birth certificate.
But legal recognition of your birth is required to show that you exist, so that you could connect to whatever legal system or whatever part of the system you're supposed to connect to. But that's a primary fundamental thing. Everybody requires a birth certificate to establish their identity as existence as a person.
Yeah, you're actually born. Let's go to the caller. Guardian Radio AM. We're talking Patriots. We're talking...
Good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nui.
Good morning. How you doing?
Yeah, you know, I just want to make this quick. One thing I agree with you, Nui, is you fight for it, right? I agree that totally, because the Constitution don't exist. Let me see all the breaches. So the big question for me is, are our authorities adhering to these stipulations by the Constitution as it relates to the time frame, 10 years for this, 5 years for that, et cetera, all the prerequisites to being a citizen? Obviously, they are not, because you go to the Freedom of Information and see that obviously citizenship were given without these prerequisites. You think everybody was here for 10 years and everybody's here for 5 years or whatever marriage or whatever the guidelines are.
So I'll ask you this question.
I wanted the question then became for me, as you guys spoke, well, what is the difference between a country and a nation? So we know that a nation would be cultural people with same language, borders, and culture. So a country, a nation can exist outside of its own country.
That's right, a country. There, right? No, no. You've given the definition of a country. No, yeah, a nation...
You don't have to be... What I'm saying is a nation can exist without being in their country. A country can have multiple nations within its borders.
No, listen, no. No, hold on. No. A nation is the citizenship, is the laws. The Bahamas can't exist in the U.S. outside of the consular space.
But Aaron, when you look at it, this is what I'm saying is I prefer to call myself a patriot versus a nation, because nationalism is more an extreme aggressive policy than foreigners viewing the system. Hello?
Yeah. Right here.
The Kurdish people and certain people, they have a nation and they exist within other countries. In Europe, they have other nations within their country. So that's what I'm saying is, and you could go online and you could check it for yourself. So what I'm saying is, the nationalism is more extreme. It breeds more hatred. It's like a European geopolitical construct. So the difference is, a patriot, you can juxtapose them together. A patriot would be someone who loves the common good and political liberty and embraces criticism to improve it. But, you know, the nationalists, they tend to be more extreme. So, in other words, what I'm saying is, for a nation is a group of people bordered by shared cultural identity, such as common language, ethnicity, and history. So, with a country is a specific physical territory with borders and government. That's what I'm saying. But a nation can be in your country and still be subjected to the government of the country. And you can go and check it out for yourself, Aaron. You could go and look at it.
I don't like your definitions. And I told you what my definition.
I agree with you.
No. Pause. I don't care what European people have to say. The same people who is oppressing us and defining who we are and how we should live in, the constructs we should live in, so we could identify the way they want us to. A country is the group of people, the culture, the arts. The nation is the construct of laws. Right. That's all I'm saying. I just saying,
Aaron,
that you have the
Aaron,
two, and
Aaron,
I don't care what the European people say.
That's not what they're saying, but all right. What about a parallel society existing within our society?
I am agreeing with you. All I'm telling you is that you are ascribing the definitions incorrectly. That's all. I'm saying, you say a nation,
when
you
say,
but I don't care what they're saying online.
So you're trying to tell me a nation cannot exist within a nation?
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. All I told you is that you defining a country as a nation and a nation as a country. That's all I said. I said I actually agree with you, except that...
So Aaron, there's a slight difference also. Would you agree that... Well, let me just ask you. Would you agree that there's a slight difference between a patriot and a nationalist?
Definitely a difference.
All right, then.
I don't understand how you... Hold on. See, what you doing? How you could frame it like that? Didn't we start off the conversation? I'm the one who told you there's a massive difference between a patriot and a nationalist. Why would you do that to me in the public? Come on, man.
Let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Guided Radio AM.
Thank you, Mr. Nui, and my beloved Aaron.
Blessed love.
Do you all understand what ultra-virus and per imperium means.
Okay, I don't know. Second. I want you to call earlier, man.
Tell us what per incurium means. Just tell us what per incurium means.
Per incurium means to reckless disregard for the laws and the facts, lack of due regard for the laws of the facts, or to willful blindness. Now, on the 5th of July, prior to independence, that is what happened. That's what made it ultra-virus.
Let me ask you this question.
When something is done per incurium, the lower court or any person in authority does not have to respect it.
Let me ask you a question. Have you legally challenged any of this as yet?
You have it, I said.
I just asked you, have you legally challenged any of this as yet? You have determined that it's ultra-virus.
Why you keep on asking him that? He already tell you no.
No, okay. Let's go to the next caller. Pause.
We know what ultra-virus means. We know what the other term means. What we're telling you is, don't call the radio and beat us up. And we're telling you the next step forward is to put your money together, put a legal case to the court. That's what to do next. That's the next step. The lawyers will charge you $10,000 to tell you that. We're telling it to you for free. That's all.
Let's go to the next caller. Let's speed this up. Go ahead, caller. Guy in radio.
Hey, I got to speed it up, Miss Nuri.
Me?
Miss Graham.
Yes, sir.
I know your mom. If your mother is listening to this radio this morning, she must be proud of you. You knuckled this morning two of the most smartest people they think callers on radio. C. Allen Johnson and 52. You knocked the two of them out this morning. I listened to the show from the beginning. I wasn't going to call.
Mm-hmm.
But you lined up the two of them right in line this morning.
We have to continue this conversation.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Let's see if we squeeze these other people in. Go ahead.
Mrs. 52, Mrs. Johnson, I can call you all because I didn't mean to line them
we
up.
Sorry, that. Wrong button. Go ahead. Next one.
It was him. He's pointing.
Call back. Okay, no problem. Anyway, we at the end. We will make space to continue this conversation. Can we have this one? No? We'll make space to have this conversation again about patriotism, nationalists. What is the difference? And then we can tie in the citizenship again towards it, right? Mm-hmm. Idea that we are not... Listen, understanding the difference between laws and the Constitution.
We got 2,000 plus lawyers and a dearth, a lack of legal literacy. We got 185,000 cars on the road and a lack of, traffic literacy.
Yeah. So that's what we need to do. Anyway, I enjoyed this conversation. We got to continue it as we move forward towards the general election, especially how a number of political parties are using this as their platform. But clearly, their followers are not understanding what is happening. Mm-hmm. A number of people are complaining, but they're not taking the next step purposely. They are purposely not taking the next step of challenging the law because they don't want to challenge the law. They can't challenge the law because they don't clearly have the evidence or wherewithal to do it. The purpose is purposefully making this a political point without doing their due diligence. And we can't be being used as a tool. Tell them no, man. Until you challenge it, we ain't listen to you no more. Stop playing with our emotions. Stop it. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green.
Mm-hmm.
I could bring some of you on Thursday.
Okay.
We'll continue this conversation again. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.